قاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمهم الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For the hastening of the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. Over the last few nights, we've been trying to discuss the issue of spirituality. For those who weren't here, what we tried to first deal with is to make sure the path of spirituality that we get, the information we get about spirituality, how to reach spiritual levels, what is spirituality. We've got to clarify where we get that from. And that's got to be from Islam. And we started to discuss some of the, after that, we started to discuss some of the more particular issues regarding spirituality. We discussed prayer as one of the important parts of the spiritual path of Islam. And from there we got on to the issue of dhikr and the importance of dhikr, the benefits of dhikr. The last point that I like to start from there, last point we touched upon last night, was that there is a wajib dhikr that we need to have. The wajib remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to have every moment of our lives. And that is, if I'm doing something, I gotta remember God. Has He allowed me to do this, what I'm doing, or has He not? Is there something that I have to do at this point? Is it prayer time? Is Hajj wajib on me? Okay. Is there something wajib on me that I'm supposed to do and I'm not doing? That's the dhikr. That's the wajib dhikr that all of us have got to have. That's wajib. I want to start from there. What is it that causes us to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit sins? What steps can we take to actually keep this from happening? As we said, if according to our spiritual school of thought, the Islamic spiritual school of thought, if we want to get anywhere, it is going to be through obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other path. It's obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we can get close to Him. Okay. It's only then that these dhikr, the adhkar, are going to have a serious effect on us. That's when you do a dhikr a number of times, it causes us to actually reach stages where we had, I think it was last night, where Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahu salamu alayhi, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kallamahum fi dhati uqulihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them in their intellect. Okay, that's a very high level that he said. I don't know about you, but I don't understand what that means. I just know there's something there that we can get to. So how can we do this? I mean, we already know this. We already know that we're supposed to practice the wajibat. We already know we're supposed to stay away from these things called the Muharramat. Is there anything that we can actually do so we can help ourselves on this? Let me take a step back. One other point I wanted to mention before that, and that is the importance of this issue. I know I mentioned the importance of staying away from sin and doing the wajibat over and over these lectures. As I said, what we're trying to do here is trying to remind ourselves. A lot of the stuff that's being said, you probably already know. We should already know. Just doing reminders here. I want to emphasize on this point, what are actually the effects of sin? We said if we want to reach higher levels of spirituality, you're going to have to stay away from sin. I have to stay away from sin if I want to get to the higher levels of spirituality. I can't reach the higher levels if I haven't done this one step. So that's one of the effects. It keeps us from reaching those stages. It keeps us from getting where Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi had mentioned. It is not, or it does not stop at that point, brothers and sisters. Sins are very dangerous. Alhamdulillah, at this point in our lives, okay, we have the right beliefs. We believe in a set of things. We're actually here to, inshallah, develop ourselves and become more spiritual people. This is what we're trying to do, right? But you know what sins can do according to the verses of the Holy Quran? Recite a salawat, please. A second one, please. In, I believe it is Surah A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us first, he wants to give us some principles about how this world works. He tells us that go and look at what happened before you. Go and learn from history. And this is something we find in the Holy Quran, in the Hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, he has a letter to his own son, to Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba. One of the points that he mentions there is that study history such that it's as though you've lived amongst those people. There's a lot of benefits in knowing what happened before. Okay, want to learn from the experiences of other people. Okay, we got, that's what the benefit of history is going to be. So the verse first tells us that one of the points it says you should learn from the people before you, those who lived before us, is this, that أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء أن كذبوا بآيات الله. The outcome, the end result of those who did bad, committed sins, did wrong, was that they actually started disbelieving in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever thought of this? Why is it when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he started his call, his announcement, he called to all people to accept his message. He explained it to everybody. Why is it that not everybody accepted? A lot of people went against him. What was the case there? Why is it? Today, the truth is sometimes explained very clearly, But yet you have two types of people. Some people accept it and some people deny it. Why is it like that? These verses tell us, when we do what we know is bad, is wrong, okay, that has an effect on us. One of the effects is this. If we do too much of it, there will come a time that we may even disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieve in the Ahlul Bayt, even maybe become, God forbid, the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. It's possible, it's happened before. One story I would like to, it's related to the holy month of Ramadan. You know, the person who assassinated Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi is an individual by the name of Ibn Muljam al-Muradi. He used to actually go to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was in his army in Siffin. We know that. After Siffin, he would still pay visits to Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's an account that actually one time when he went to get his share of the Baytul Mal from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen told him, looked at him, and he said that there will come a time that you will make my beard red from the blood of my head. Ibn Muljam at that point exclaimed, said, if that's the case, then why don't you get rid of me right now? No, seriously, he was saying, kill me. Take my life, so I don't ever do something like that. A few months later, sins, very dangerous. We have the belief right now, we have our faith, we have the hub of the Ahlul Bayt, but there's no guarantee that that will stay there. There's no guarantee. There's a very interesting hadith in it that uses this. It says, لَيْسَ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ قَرَابَةٍ. Okay, there is no blood relation between God or anyone. There's no, he's not going to say, oh, this guy's my cousin, I'm going to treat him differently. No. Everyone's treated the same. There's no guarantee. I have it now, alhamdulillah, hopefully. But there's no guarantee I will have it. Some of these scholars in the past, actually, I'm not sure I have this big picture in my mind, that it may have been Sayyid Murtada or one of the other scholars. He would sometimes cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know I have, I'm where I'm at right now. I have my faith, I'm practicing. But God knows if I'll have it tomorrow. Actions have got an effect on our beliefs. Let me explain it in a different way. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, him and Eve were in this garden. I don't want to get into the details. With one thing we know about that garden is that it was not paradise. Okay, it was not Jannah that we are going to be, those of the believers are going to be experiencing in the hereafter. It's not that, we know that. And it's not on earth. Where is it? What was it? There's debates on that. Okay. I don't want to get into that. But anyway, they were there. And it wasn't on earth. The enemy of mankind, Shaytan, tricked Adam into doing something, and he did it. It was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him not to. He did it, and they were sent on earth. Of course, side note, Adam was supposed to come on earth anyway. I don't want to get into that topic, but just a pointer. When Adam and Eve were leaving to come on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the principle by which their lives are going to be governed on this earth. Okay. At least twice in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with this part of the story. Recite a salawat, please. One of those cases is in Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Leave, go down to earth. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. On the earth, I will give you guidance. Whoever accepts that guidance, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Okay. They will not have any fear or grief. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. The people that are become kafir, which means that they don't accept, they reject the guidance, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they say that this is not from God, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will be going to hell. The verse says, the first one, فَمَنْ تَابِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. فَمَنْ تَابِعَ هُدَايَ means those who follow the guidance, those who practice the guidance. Besides salawat, please. We have in the Holy Quran the concept of guidance and misguidance. This is what these verses are referring to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to people. Part of that guidance is like the Holy Quran, sending prophets, messengers, okay, explaining a message. If you people want to get where you're supposed to, you've got to take these instructions. This is where you're supposed to. This is guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we take that guidance, all right, we're given another set of guidance. We mentioned this a little bit in the question and answer sessions one of the last nights. I forget which one it was. When we accept the guidance, we are given another level of guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This never comes to an end. Never. There's hadith that the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, on Thursday nights, one hadith says, the other ones don't put any particular day for it, that one day of the week or continuous, it's basically saying that it's continuous, that they have a special session that they raise, their status is raised. That is the guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. Our existence is always limited. No matter who we are, even the Ahlul Bayt, they're limited. This limitation is always going to be, if we do the right things like the Ahlul Bayt, their status is constantly going to be raised. Now, how does this happen that guidance is accepted and more guidance is given? The first level of that is acceptance with the heart. Okay, if we accept it, like we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's explained to us, we realize, yes, this world, this universe could not have come into existence without a creator. So we come to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Now we have that much. We've accepted that. Our heart is open now. More guidance is given to us. Now this more guidance, as I said, is not like more messengers coming. It may have been something that I've been witnessing on a daily basis, but it just never occurred to me that this is a guidance. That's the first level. After that, it is our actions. When we do something based on the guidance that we already had, the next level of guidance comes. Okay. You know the concept of, in the Holy Quran it says, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have iman, you act according to that. Hadith say, you act, that gives you iman. Okay. It's both ways. You act with iman, that gives you, act with iman, or you have iman, that tells you to act. You act with iman, you had a certain level of iman. You act according to that, that raises your status of iman. And you act according to the second level, then that raises you again to another level of. The same happens the other way around. When we are given a blessing like the hub of the Ahlul Bayt, the love of the Ahlul Bayt, if we don't act according to what that means, that blessing is going to be taken away from us. That guidance is going to be taken away from us. That's when the Holy Quran says that, for example, that verse that فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضْ. They have this disease in their heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them more disease in their hearts. That's this concept. We don't act according to what our faith tells us to, then that blessing of the faith is taken away from us. So this is one of the effects and one of the dangers of committing sins. Recite the salawat, please. Okay, so we get the importance of not committing sin, and what happens if we actually keep away from sin. By the way, we're always supposed to keep away from sin. This is a continuous process. If we continue doing that, okay, if we continue being muttaqi, then that's when we start getting up there, inshallah. Now how do we do that? This is what I wanted to focus a little more on tonight. The first thing that we gotta really focus on, and it might sound like we already know it, but I feel like in practice we don't, is that we actually have to know what we're supposed to stay away from and what we're supposed to do. That's obvious, yes. But we're not doing that. How many of us here know what the laws of business are? We're all into business, we're all working, we're all having money coming in, we pay taxes. We're doing all of that. How many of us know the laws of that? A brother came to me after, I don't know how long, he was like studying, taking these loans and all, I don't know. He had done a lot of business, like bought this house, the value went up, you know, in Iran the value of the houses go up pretty quickly. You can make a lot of money in that market. But anyway, so he had bought the house and sold it, gained a lot of money, bought another one. He was doing all, after so many years, he came to me and said, okay, I'm trying to figure out what my khums issue here is. And the way I've calculated up to now, I recently was told something that I think I was wrong the way I calculated khums. And that is, I added up all the debts that I had and all the money that I made. If the debts were more than the money, then I don't have to pay any khums. Okay, so I have this mortgage on my house that I'm going to be paying for the next 30 years. So I don't have any khums to pay because the amount that I've made is nothing compared to that. After so many years, these are our responsibilities. Do I know what responsibilities I have? Do I know what laws I have when it comes to business, when it comes to banking? Can I take a mortgage? Can I not? How can I do that? Can I have a credit card? Can I not? Can I actually put my money in a bank where they give me interest? Is that allowed Islamically? All these have got an effect on me. They have an effect on my spirituality. We don't have two lives. We don't live two lives. Okay. One life is on the market and one life is at home reading the Quran and tasbih and all of that spirituality. No. It all has an effect on. Do I know what is haram? The reason why I'm mentioning the laws regarding transactions, because I find that those are the least talked about. Okay. People usually don't talk about those issues. We talk about, yes, I know fornication is haram, I know ghiba is haram, we're always talking about what is ghiba, I know this is, these things I do know haram. But when it comes to transactions, do I know what is actually haram and what is not? What am I allowed to, what jobs can I go to? What jobs can I have? What type of occupation can I have? Can I just pick any occupation that I want? Because that's what they teach out here in the West. I mean, they don't teach you, that's how it is. Everyone just says, oh, I like to do this. And can I, is it like that? Do I have any restrictions? We have to pray. Do I even know all the laws regarding prayer? As we said, the essence, the other day we said, the essence of prayer is dhikr. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put laws. You want to remember me, you're going to do it in this way. If I don't do it in that way, then it's not going to count. I have to do it in that pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. There's a hadith that says on the day of judgment, some people will be asked, why didn't you do this? So I didn't know. Why didn't you learn? It's your responsibility. It's our responsibility. There's a hadith you probably all have heard on numerous occasions. Okay, from the Holy Prophet. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. Learning, obtaining knowledge, seeking knowledge is wajib on every single Muslim. Usually the context that this hadith is mentioned is the concept of, or the context of, learn your sciences. We've got to become modern. We're behind, the Muslims are behind when it comes to technology and the sciences, the modern sciences. Let's learn them. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلم. Apparently that is not the context. Although I am not putting that down at all, we have other hadith that explain this. But this hadith is something else. This is a type of knowledge that it says every single human being has got. That farida is not a joke. Farida to not a kulli Muslims. Farida means the prayer is farida. Okay, this is the term. When something is obligatory in the religion, that is called farida. So seeking knowledge is farida. If that type of knowledge is farida, then all those people that are illiterate when it comes to sciences, then they're all committing sins. That's not what that means. It's talking about this type of knowledge. There is a knowledge that is necessary for every single human being to live as a Muslim. We've got to have it. If I don't have that knowledge, then what am I going to practice? As the other hadith says, if you're acting without knowledge, how do I do this? I just make it up as I go, then where are we going to get to? So this is important, brothers and sisters. We've got to know, I know it is difficult, alright? I really know it is difficult to find some of those fatawa. the language barrier, the answering process, finding an authentic source, but it's still our responsibility. That doesn't mean that I don't go and do it, because it's difficult. We've got to read the risalas, we've got to understand them, got to know which one's authentic, get the authentic translations, email the offices, get that information. That's our access to learning what Islam has told us to do, to know what the sins are, what the limitations are. So this is one point that I wanted to emphasize on. The next important point in keeping away from sin, now this may sound a little ironic, but is to have halal pleasures. A lot of times people commit sin because they have got a need, they have got a desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into them. And that desire is not put there to keep away from altogether. There's a limit put on that. We don't take pleasure in the halal, we end up committing the haram. There's a funny story, let me tell you. There was this guy who wanted to drink wine. You know, it's haram to drink wine. So what he did was, he decided to go into the desert with only a bottle of wine. Okay. He walked and walked and walked and walked and walked until he was dying of thirst and there's no water around. At that point, opened the bottle and started drinking. Okay. Now in this example, don't ever try that, by the way, but in this example, if it is actually the case that one gets out there and they are dying of thirst, then that becomes halal. But not when water is available. When water is available, you start dying of thirst, like, oh, I have no other choice, I start drinking wine. I can't do that. A lot of the problems lie in this issue. Okay. We do not fulfill those desires in a halal way. So we're left with haram. This is important. To be spiritual, you've got to take care of the desires. Okay, I'll give you some of the verses. One that is very famous, you probably have heard, is Surah Tahrim, verse 1. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabi. لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ. O Prophet, why have you made something that's halal on you haram? You're not allowed to do that. The same way that when something is haram, I'm not allowed to make it halal. Okay? If something's actually halal, I'm not allowed to make it haram on myself. I can't make it haram. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet, no, you can't limit yourself any more than I have limited you. When I say, you're supposed to stay away from these things. Anything other than that, you're not supposed to stay away from. Another verse, Surah A'raf, verse 32. Say salawat, please. I'll start with 31 actually. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya bani Adam, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. Okay. The beginning part, this piece is where I want to start with. It says, eat and drink and do not waste. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Okay. Then the verse where the main focus is on is this. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say to them, say to people, who has made the zina that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for the people, for His servant, who has made these things haram? وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, the good things. The good things that, you know, they taste good as well. Enjoy. Who's made these things haram? قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Actually, you know what? All these pleasures in this world are put there because of the believers and the mu'mineen. The kuffar are benefiting from those because there are mu'mineen. Okay. If it wasn't for the mu'mineen, they wouldn't be benefiting from that either. Because there are mu'mineen, they are on the day of judgment and then on, okay, in the hereafter, that's when khalisatan. It's only the mu'mineen that are going to be benefiting from these pleasures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings with certain desires, and He actually wanted us to take pleasure in these desires. Not that He wanted us to keep away from these. No, there's nothing wrong with those desires in and of themselves. The problem is to fulfill that desire, to quench that desire, okay, we have many different options. Out of these options, some of them are harmful to me as an individual, to society at large. Those are the ones that, okay, keep away from these. Take your pleasure, but in the ones that are not going to be harmful to you. If you take pleasure in things that are not going to be harmful for you, that's actually benefit. That's how you're going to be healthy, a healthy human being. We're supposed to do that. Staying away from the halal is something that causes us to end up in haram. You know the examples. A lot of the youth don't get married at a young age because I could, you know, they have tens of thousands of reasons why they don't want to get married while they're young. One of them is culture. Okay. This is one of the examples, of course, of people getting into haram because they're not doing their halal, taking their halal pleasure. Okay. But it's a widespread example. That's why a couple points about it. There's a ruling, okay, you can check any of the salih you want. Whoever you're following, you can check it. They have this ruling. If I fear that I may commit a sin because I'm not taking this halal, having this halal pleasure, I'm not married, it's actually wajib to get married. If you want to be spiritual, you've got to do your wajibat. Stay away from muharramat. This is one of the wajibat. If that is the case. Recite salawat, please. So it's important. This is serious. Okay. This is really, really serious. If you want to be spiritual, you got to take pleasure in the halal to be able to stay away from the haram. If you keep yourself away from everything, you don't have access to halal, then you're going to end up getting to haram. That's just natural. That's the way it is. And the last point that I guess I have to mention very briefly now is this issue that when we start to stay away from these sins and we start on a spiritual path, well, obviously we're not ma'soom, so we're going to be slipping. Slip one time, two times, three times. It's important that we repent. It's important that we repent from every single sin that we do right afterwards, right after doing it. One thing that happens when we commit sins that shaitan, you know, kind of makes us feel like bad. No, I just did this. I can't talk to God now. Let me wait a little bit. That's shaitan. That's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not a divine call. That's not a divine whisper. That's shaitanic. Right after I slip, I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did wrong. I feel regretful. And ask for forgiveness. This is something that's important. Sometimes what shaitan does about these sins is he causes us to think that we are not going to be forgiven. That I've done too much. I don't want to go towards God anymore. I don't think I can do it. Now there's two aspects to this. One of them is it keeps us from repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it keeps us from progressing towards Him. The other thing is it makes us lose hope in reaching higher stages. This is something that happens to, I know some people that in Iran that we're following a particular teacher in spirituality. I mentioned, you know, I haven't mentioned his name, but some of his teachings I've mentioned that, you know, this issue of taqwa and staying away from these sins and all. Well, after a while, some of these people are like, okay, we can't do it. Losing hope. This is shaitan. We can always turn back and manage to get back on our feet and start and reach where some of the blessed of the believers have reached. Tawbah. There's a verse in the Holy Quran I really, really love when I see this verse about Tawbah. Say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli
second salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verses 159 and 160. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. The people who hide the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His messengers. So he's talking about the Ahlul Kitab, okay, some of these scholars in the Jewish tribes and the Christians, okay. Those who hide this hidayah from people, after we have given it in the book to the people, these people hide it. Well, one of the other verses explains that one of the ways that they would hide it was they would change the meaning of it. So anyway, it says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. These people are cursed by Allah and by all those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told to curse these type of people. All kinds of people, angels and people are going to be cursing these people. At the end it says, next verse, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Some of the verses in the Holy Quran, when it talks about tawbah, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance. Okay, it uses what they call the third person.
Okay.
He will forgive you. He will accept your repentance. The nice thing about this verse is that he's addressing the people. It says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلِمْ. Those who repent, and I'll explain the other details, those who repent the right way, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. I will do tawbah to them. What does that mean? We usually do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But tawbah is returning, is going back. You know, when two people have got a little argument, if they want to make up with one another, what do? Both have got to come together, right? If only one party comes and says something, because some, for example, comes and says, I'm sorry, if the other side doesn't want to accept that, then they haven't made up. So both sides have got to come together. They return to one another. Okay. So this verse is saying, before it even says, when they turn back to Allah, that's what tawbah means. When they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will turn back to them. Wa ana, it says, I will turn back to you. Wa ana tawwabur rahim. The thing about tawbah, okay, the real tawbah, since we're talking about spirituality, if we were talking about just repentance, okay, we could talk about mainly on this aspect of whatever you do, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and you feel regret, then that's enough to be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. He forgives. It doesn't take too much. Just admit that that was actually a sin, that was something wrong. Realize it. Remember, this is what I did on such a day, and that was wrong, and I regret it. Okay, that's enough. كَفَى بِالنَّدْمِ تَوْبَةً. It's hadith in Kafi. The book Kafi, it's been narrated. This is enough for the tawbah. But since we're talking about spirituality, raising our levels in spirituality, that is not enough. Okay, it's what this verse says. It says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَآمَنُوا or وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. Okay, you've got to make up. We've got to make up for what we have done in the past. And according to the Holy Quran, it talks about tawbatun nasuh. Tawbatun nasuh, according to the ahadith, the explanation of that is the tawbah that you never go back to that sin again. That tawbah is going to be something that, according again to the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. The wrong deeds, the sins that they have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down for these guys. These guys have committed these sins. Alright? Those are the sayyat. If they repent in the right way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those were going to be converted to good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us in this month of Ramadan to truly have a tawbatul nasuh, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He returns to us, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be one of His soldiers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of Him, give good health to all our maraja, all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, forgive our parents and all those who have taught us a word in Islam of their sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.